The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!
All right, Coach Steve Smiley in the podcast studio. We've got another edition of the two-man game for you, Coach, and another rough one over the weekend against Northern Arizona.
You know, Brady, at some point, I don't know if it's going to be soon, but at some point, we're playing that fight song.
We're going to play that fight song.
We're going to play when we win.
Yeah.
And, just another rough one. You know, obviously we're in some uncharted territory in terms of the record and things like that, and you know, use all the coaching quotes and the life lessons and things like that, and for the guys, because you know, at the end of the day, like we are not where we're supposed to be. We're 1-7, but you know, we've lost 5 games in a row on the final possession, and you know, I think that the message is consistently and you know and constantly. The idea of we do control the outcome, you know, you go through like just the film of yesterday stuff and like nothing's really changed, like the same preparation and approach from, you know, early in the season, we were 9-1 to right now, nothing's changed, you know, and I'm really proud of these guys, man. Like I'm not happy. They're not happy, but I'm really proud of how they're showing up for work. Like I can lose with these dudes. Like, you know, the outside negativity, I'm cool with it, man. Like it does, like I don't listen to those people anyways, but our guys, like, it's like, hey, we're showing up, we're working hard. I do think their belief is good. You know, I've been on a lot of teams where you start losing and things splinter and you can feel it and see it. And that's just not – these guys, like, they just keep showing up every day. And so I'm proud of them. But obviously we're trying to find a way to get through the mess and hope eternal. But, yeah, just it was a tough one. We just – 2-point game at halftime. We're up 4 with 9 minutes to go. Like we've talked about a lot, critical mistakes. We call them scout mistakes. And, you know, we've averaged about 6 or 7 a game over the last several years. And most of those games are wins and 13 scout mistakes.
Yeah.
And that ended up being 23 points. And so I know it's kind of gets into the analytics and the weeds a little bit. What does that even mean? But it just means we're not detailed enough. I can point the finger at the guys, right? That's easy to do. But I think more so it's we're looking at a staff saying, how do we just simplify things? What's so weird about this is it's not like year to year. Like last year, 7 older guys, you know, they're all kind of on the same timelines, guys that had either been here 3 or 4 years or they were just really old. Hawthorne had only been here for a year, but he really smart and really old. Jaron, you know, 2 years, but just he knew the system. So last year we could tweak and modify and this and that, like, you know, preparation things to give us the best chance to win, and we could do it. It's hard to say, well, that team to this team, because there are some guys that are a lot younger or just brand new on this team. They're still figuring out. But what's crazy about this team is we were making those little micro incisions to the scout earlier in the year, and it was working. You know, you go back to the famous CU win. You know, we schemed that thing. You know, you go through and you watch what we did. Like, you really watch what we did defend. We schemed it. And now – in the last several games that we're losing in the final possession, the schemes, while we believe they're right, they're not working. And our guys are making too many – like the mistakes have started to mushroom a little bit. So as a coaching staff, I think the mature thing to do is look at it and say, okay, how do we simplify things? You know, how do we – I don't want to just be straight vanilla, right? But how do we simplify things so that at the end of the day, like that old quote, you know, it's a Meyer quote, but it's somebody else's, maybe Starkey or something – or Woodens, who knows? But the slower the more they think, the slower their feet get, right?
Mm.
We got some slow feet out there. Like, we're behind all the actions. We're thinking too much. So how do we make things more simple? At the same time, you know, not changing our preparation. We believe in our model. But we got to find a way to get our guys to play a little bit more, you know, a little bit more freely on the defensive end. Because we're struggling on that end. We're not very good, but we have been. So how do we just simplify things? And that's like the biggest thing right now is you know, schematically, how do we simplify things?
Well, and this is where, like, I try to come at it from a fan's perspective,
yeah,
right,
sure.
Coach? I mean, I've watched most of your games this year. And I look at these games like, okay, Texas Tech on the road without Quinn Danker. You guys are right there.
Oh, yeah.
You beat CU in their court.
Yep.
So I look at that team and I'm thinking, yeah, this team's going to run through. The Big Sky Conference is ridiculous.
It's really good this year.
But as a fan, you know, you watch that and you go, okay, what is that disconnect?
Yeah,
because every time you guys lose, I'm shocked. I talked about this yesterday with Brock. That's, in my mind, this is a good basketball team.
Yeah.
I'm still shocked when you guys lose.
Yeah, me too.
What is that? In some of these games we're talking about, the Texas Tech game, no Quinn Danker, you're right there.
Yeah.
What has been kind of that? Is it a mental thing? Is it as simple as just saying shots aren't going in? Are you pressing? What are some of those things?
I mean, it's all of it, and I'm shocked too. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not like, well, I'm not surprised. You know, that I'm shocked. Mm-hmm. I'm shocked we didn't win that game. I think our plan was right. I believe in myself. I believe in our staff. I believe in our players. So, like, you know, I'm shocked too. But I think the problem with where we're at right now is that we're in the microwave society. Of like, it's crazy how this flipped in 3 weeks, right? This is like 3 weeks of disasters, and it's just like we've created this monster, you know, of our own accord in a good way, in the sense of like, you know, the last 2.5 years have been pretty dang good, man.
Yeah,
you know, you finished second place with the team with Saint DeJour, Jaren, all these guys finished second place, right? We're rolling, make postseason, make CBI, like big deal. Follow that up with a championship. Best season maybe in school history.
Yeah.
You know, finally drop a banner, you know, which is great. Go to the NIT, you know, all this stuff, right? Like, go to the Big Sky Championship. Follow that up with the 9-1 start and ultimately 10-3 in the best non-con in the history of the school. It's pretty good. And then when it flips on its head, you know, it's like, well, what's going on? You know, it is shocking and it's frustrating. And it's, I think for us, it's like, what's the difference? It's a little bit of everything. One, you go, if you want to compare shots, you know, to the games we've won, to the shots, games we lost, not much has changed. We got great looks against Northern Arizona. We didn't shoot it bad. We were 13 for 29 from three. We shot 50% from the field. That's good enough to win a game.
Yeah.
So I think it's a little bit more defensively. But, man, we really struggled offensively against Montana State. Our defense was good, but our offense – so, like, it's both sides of the ball, right? It's like in the football terms and special situations too. But we got great looks in this Northern Arizona game. We could have shot better. We could have. And we didn't. As I go back through and watch it and I grade the shots on it, and I think in the course of the game, we had 51 good shots, 5 bad shots. That's pretty good. We had 15 turnovers. Some of those turnovers were just literally crazy. We were up 4 9 minutes ago and we threw it away for a pick six, as you want to call it that. We threw it out of bounds on the next play and those walls caved in. That's just technique. That's just, you know, safely passing and receiving the ball. But again, like, are we putting our guys in the right spot? And then defensively, I think, that's where it goes back to, right now, like, if you take us right now, I don't think we can handle too much scouty, intricate detail. Mm. Right now, I think, you know, not necessarily belief, but just a muddied mind. We got to free the mind a little bit and just go out there and play. Because, again, I just think that our guys are thinking a little bit too much on the defensive end, and it's not working. You know, we've been a great team at doubling the post. We have mismatches through the course of time for the last 10 years. And it cracked. It completely cracked the plan against NAU or 3 times in the second half. It wasn't the double that hurt us, but the rotations failed, and they hit 3 threes. And it's like, that's not to say we'll never double the post again, but, like, that, for whatever reason, it cracked. And so it's like, we just got to keep looking at it. You can't just take everything and throw it away, but you got to say, okay, what are these little micro tweaks that we can do to get a little bit better? Because we're one possession away.
When you're losing games like this, does it feel like every single possession is like pressure filled?
You don't want it to feel that way.
Yeah.
You want them to play, hey man, just win the possession, play. But it does feel that way. You can feel the pressure of the world on these guys, and this isn't life and death, but it feels that way, right? And it's like, I don't know, for the people listening, you know, the Bible people, right? It's like the Book of Job, man. Mm. We had a bunch of cattle, you know. He had flocks and flocks and flocks, and you know, the wife and the kids and everything was good for Job, and then all of a sudden it wasn't. And
that's a great
connection
there.
It is what it was.
There,
yeah. I was talking to Quinn after the game, man. We're sitting in the airport talking, and I said, hey man, because he is a Bible guy, right? I was like, hey. Pretty soon you're gonna see Smiley over here, you know, picking sores with a piece of glass, right? Like, but what we have to decide is what wolf are we going to listen to. You know the story of the two wolves, right?
Yeah,
everyone knows that one, the grandpa and the little kid. And it's like, put that up yesterday and put that one up there. And it's amazing. Like, some of the kids have seen it, but not all. They're like, well, I've never heard this before, coach. Like, we grew up with that stuff, right? But I'm like, well, the two wolves. I said, hey, it's not all these words, but the one wolf says, you know, the wolf that's, you know, giving you the negativity is talking about inferiority. Are we inferior? Everyone thought we were good. We thought we were good. And right now, hey, the standings say we're not very good. So are you believing that? Or are you believing that second wolf that's hope? And then I pulled up some social media stuff. I said, look, man, I know you guys get killed on here. I said, but like, here's this one that's killing me. I really don't care about it. Like, honestly, and there's a couple of people that even listen to this podcast that used to rock with the Bears, and then they think they have the right to say some crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool. Like, it's your right as a fan. But we also keep those receipts. Like, don't party with us when it's good and then not rock with us when it's bad. And but I showed him. I said, like, this guy, you know, I'm the worst coach in the world. I'm this, that.
I think I've seen that.
And it's cool. It's like, hey, 3 weeks ago, there was discussion about should we build a statue, you know, after the CU game. Like, hey, we won 100 games. No one's ever done it here in 3 weeks, right? Like, that is fickle. That is fake. Those people are fair weather. But at the same point, I don't listen to that wolf, right? Like, the wolf I listen to is within myself. Like, I got enough self-belief and confidence. I don't need, you know, people to positively or negatively inject, you know, faith or on the inferiority into me. But what wolf are you listening to? Right? Because you guys are young, man. You guys are 18 to 22.
Sure.
You got a lot of outside influences. And I said, so, hey, like, let me handle the negativity. You know, one guy said, Smiley's got a foot out the door. So where am I going, guys? I got a foot out the
door. Oh, and I've always said foot out the door for other reasons.
Yeah, where am I going, man? Like, I got a foot out the door, apparently. I said, like, this Yahoo that's tweeting this stuff, he has no idea how much work we're putting into this. He has no idea that we literally probably haven't slept out of stress and anxiety for days. No idea. But we got feet out the door.
Yeah.
You know, his team's quit on us, right? They've quit on us. They literally quit. Like, what are we talking about here? But it's very easy. Even people that care about us, I was explaining this to my dad. My dad's got suggestions. He's a former high school coach. And I said, look, man, I said, like, I'm good taking your suggestions. And I love people that want to be a part of this. But at the same point, nobody that isn't there every single day, in every single practice, every single meeting, every team meal, on the road, nobody really knows unless you're in that bubble. And the bubble's strong. Like, so again, like, I told the guys too, we're going through, we're watching some stuff and missing these shots. I said, guys, man, we play this well, we get this shot, we miss it. Hey, we might miss it again. I'll lose with you guys. I will lose with this team over and over and over because I love you dudes. Now, I don't want to lose. No one wants to lose. But at the end of the day, no one's expecting this to happen. But at the same point in time, it's like, can you lose with them? Like, you've heard these things, right? Are you okay losing with the team before you went, hey, I'll lose with these guys? It's just been kind of flipped because we were winning so much early on.
Yeah.
And it's brutal, man. It's absolutely brutal. But we got to find a way through it.
It's funny you mentioned the Book of Job connection too, because, you know, when Job's going through it, he's lying on his bed, dealing with everything.
Yeah.
And his friends, air quotes, come in and they're just basically telling him, well, this is why you're here, because you've done this wrong and you've done this wrong. And I would imagine in sports and your position and all these people we talk about on a daily basis on the show, it can feel like that at times when things are going great. Everybody's your friend.
Yeah.
And then when you're, you know, stricken, you know, bedridden, and suddenly you're struggling, you get everybody coming out saying, well, this is what you're doing wrong. This is why. So that's got to be frustrating to see that stuff, man.
You have to have self-confidence. You don't need it from these other people. You know, when we beat CU, I'm not lying to you, Brady, when we beat CU, by the time I got to my phone, and I got this iWatch, right? So when I got back into the locker room, it like connects into the phone. And it's just shaking,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I had over 250 new messages. Everyone loves a winner, right? So, and which is great. I want that. Like, it's great. Like, people want to feel connected to this. But greatest thing, oh man, I can't. You beat the bottom. Like, it's awesome, right? But then when you lose, you don't get much of anything. But you know what you do get? You get some people that still like, hey, just checking on you, man.
Mm-hmm.
And those people that they rock with you.
Yeah.
You know, hey, how you doing? You know, I know it's a frustrating one, and not even just a necessary coach, but people. Like, there's some people that are some of our deepest, like, donors and supporters that they own businesses, right? And when you're the face of a company, right, you go through the same thing. You know, when you got to lay people off, when you got to make hard decisions, when you got to make, you know, I don't know, you're choosing on you're in stocks and you choose the right one, everyone thinks you're the winner. But man, when you screw that one up, yo, so and so's lost his touch. Well, and so like you got to own that. If you're gonna sit in that seat, you got to own that. And but at the same point in time, you have to decide again. Well, what wolf are you listening to? And I think for us, it's such. This is a very frustrating deal, and it might get more frustrating. It might not. We might flip it. I believe we can flip it. But I also, too, in my guts and in my heart, I feel like we are teaching these guys some really valuable life lessons. You know, I was like, hey, if you quit now, if you fracture now, if you splinter now, dude, this isn't the hardest thing in your life. You're going to be a loser. There's a lot of losers out there. You're going to quit. You're going to quit on your family. You're going to quit on your next employer. If you quit now because it's just getting hard, if you don't bow up, put your chest out, dive in, we need more. If you don't do that, you're a loser. Like, that's just the honest truth. And if you're going to do that in this arena, and no one does that in this team, this team's awesome. But if you do that, I'm telling you, when life gets hard, when you get that bad medical diagnosis, you're going to quit. Mm-hmm. You're going to fail. And so, like, it's just like, again, walked into practice yesterday. We lost five in a row at the buzzer. Walked into practice, and there's still a joy. There's a juice. You would have, literally, if you went to practice yesterday, Brady, you would have had no idea, like, what the record says we are. And I was proud of our guys. I'm not happy. Hey, we're coaching these guys. Like, we're still truth-telling them. But at the same point in time, it's like, I feel like these guys kind of get it. Yeah. And we kind of find our way out of this thing.
Yesterday was interesting, Coach. We had the Brock Wisney show. And yeah. Brock, speaking of guys that show up, the dude still shows up 10 minutes before his segment. It's the easiest player show I've ever done. He's a great human. He's got big things in store. He did mention on the air yesterday, hey, we are, Quinn Danker reached out, and we're going to do a player meeting.
Yeah.
And he and I were talking off the air, and I said, hey, can I put that? You know how I am. I'm not going to do stuff if you're like, hey, let's not put that out there. I said, can I tweet this out? You know, Quinn Danker's getting the guys together to do a player-only meeting. He's like, I want to talk about it. If you tweet it out there, people read that as players are going against the and I 100% get that. So I said, no, I'm not going to put anything out there. And as Brock's having the conversation, it's like it's nothing to do with the coaching staff. It's almost more of an open forum that's like an unorganized forum where, and I don't know what happened in that type of meeting, but what are your thoughts when you hear there's going to be a player meeting when everybody gets together?
I think it's great. You know, I put myself in these guys' shoes. You know, when I was a player, and the same thing, like the people that actually know basketball and look back at it and say, man, you played for Don Meyer. Like, that must have been the most – and it was amazing. Senior year, right? So we won championships my sophomore, junior year. He won a championship every single year after the first 2 years. And we talk about this a lot, that his first 2 years at Northern, and I didn't get recruited by him, but he went 13-14, 14-13, 27-27. In a place that literally is one of the top Division II programs. He'd already won a natty at David Lipscomb University. So, like, literally, he's one of the best coaches in the country. Walks in the 80s office after his first 2 years, 27-27. Says, look, if I don't win this year, fire me.
Wow.
Oh, he's like, nah, man. He's like, you're Don Meyer. Like, what are you talking about? Like, he's like, nah, I'm just telling you, like, fire me. Because if we don't win this year, like, that's just what it is. And I love it. Like, I was in the middle of that because his first year was my first year. And so as players, too, we got him. So we win sophomore and junior year, and I was a redshirt as a five-year guy, so we win championships. We don't get to March Madness, right? We win the regular season back, like kind of like what we did last year. We don't get to our version of March Madness. Senior year, okay, we're good. We start the year 5-1. We lose three in a row, okay? Back to back to back. Season on a brink, right? And there were some things like that we had to address as players. So we called players-only meeting. And it was like, coaches don't need to know that. And we duked it out. We had it out. And it really helped us and rallied us. We won our next game. We played South Dakota. All these teams were D2 back in the day. South Dakota, North Dakota, the Bears, right? We're all in the NCC. And South Dakota's third in the country. We're on 3-game losing streak. It's that inflection point. We got to find a way to get it done. And we rallied and we punked those dudes, just crushed them. Season flip, win the championship, go to March Madness for the first time in 20 years or whatever it was. And so, like, I think it's great because we challenge these guys. You have to be player-led. You can't just be coach-led, player-led. And starting with, you know, the Quins, the Brocks, the Zachs, we have the best leadership group we've ever had. So, like, yeah, by all means, I think it's great. But, again, like, the outside people, oh, the player only me.
It's going to be a coach bashing and all that stuff. And that's what I loved about it, too. You know, Brock's very, like, this is not about what we're doing wrong, necessarily. Yeah. It can be more of a, hey, let's make this – because I played high school basketball.
Yeah.
You talk to your teammates differently than you talk to your coach.
No doubt about it.
And it's not a... I still, to this day, like, loved that coach and thought he was amazing. Yeah. But, yeah, there's times where it's like, man, I'm just nervous about running this certain type of play. I can't figure it out. Talking to your teammates can really help get you through that. And I think, in my mind, in most cases, when I hear player-only meeting, I feel like that's a good – the staff has built this team up where they're not just throwing in the towel. It's late January. I'm not doing a player-only meeting. I'm going to a movie or whatever.
Right.
We're going
to
sit down and we're going to talk basketball.
I think these guys care, man.
Yeah.
I think they care. And yeah, I mean, the wall between the coach's locker room, the player's locker room at NAU is – it's one of those, like, portable walls.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, that's fun.
Even, like, at halftime, I was like, hey, let's move a little bit further back here so these guys don't hear what we're saying, you know, as they kind of get their few minutes to reconvene. But I remember after the game, like, I could hear Brock in that locker room, and he was so frustrated and so mad. Like, these dudes care. And so, like, yeah, again, it goes, like, to the outside. Like, the bubble, you know, the bubble that we're in, it's an amazing thing to be a part of something, like when you're a team. It is. And it's really hard when you lose, right? But, you know, again, at the outside, it's just like I told these guys, like, you know, I met with Quinn a week ago. He wasn't playing very well. He's played a lot better, but he wasn't playing very well at the time. There's a lot of stress and pressure on him. And it started showing the court. And we're just talking, man. And the outside forces of what people are saying to him, because, again, like, when he was the national mid-major player of the week, that's a pretty good award when you're the best, you know, in America. That was 3 weeks ago. And then he struggled for a little bit. And, like, the things people say to this dude online, like in his DMs, it's crazy. And it's like, you wonder why people have mental health problems. It's like, what gives people the right to,
like... Can't imagine, man.
You know, again, back in the day, if you had something you want to say to somebody, you just said it to them. But, like, now we have this digital wall, right? And obviously a lot of his, you know, degenerates and gamblers, just fans that just, they're reckless and they don't know, they just don't have a filter. But it's like, that's fine. But it's like, just don't feed that wolf, you know, and let the negativity, like, have it come at me, man. Like, it's fine. Like, have it come at me. But, you know, that's where we try to be as protectors as we can for these guys. Like, these guys are good dudes and they're doing everything they can. But the monster's been created. Like, well, we should just run away with the league. We're the most talented roster in the league. I mean, there's a lot of good teams. There's a lot of good players in this league.
Yeah.
A lot of good teams, you know, and we're okay with that. But I think the people that matter have stayed extremely supportive, and so we do appreciate that.
It's what's wild to me, because I've followed you ever since you became the head coach of the Bears, and I haven't really seen this team deal with a lot of losing.
This is the worst we've ever. I've never been a part of this in my life.
It's funny to me when I see
to this level.
Yeah,
we've lost plenty of games.
Sure.
But like this.
Yeah.
I've never been a part of this,
especially after having such a great non-conference schedule to this.
Yep.
What's funny to me though is when I see some of those comments you're talking about, and it's like when I see that Smiley's not a great coach or this coaching staff, it blows my mind because they're basing this off of 8 games, and I've seen you take over in COVID, which was a very difficult time. I've seen all the things you do behind the scenes too. That it just blows my mind how fickle some of the fans can be when it's like,
it's crazy.
Dude, look at the 5-year situation for Smiley compared to this last 8-game run. I mean, 3 weeks ago.
Three weeks ago.
And I'm not trying to play the, hey, I'm sucking up to you or whatever.
No, it's...
But there's a reason I like to do this podcast and follow this program is because I know we got a hell of a basketball coach in this area.
Yeah, and some of those people are saying people that – some of those people are just random Twitter people, but some of those people are saying people that are really showing love when we're winning. And that's that part of it's disappointing to be that fair weather and to be that fickle. It's you know, and people say things in the heat of the money lost. You know, maybe they lost money. I don't have a clue, right? Who knows? But then they say some things like, man, once you put some stuff on paper, like it's hard to get rid of that. And that's the thing. It's just goofy to me. It's like, man, like it's, I get it. But at the same point in time, I mean, obviously it's a lack of maturity too. You know, just it doesn't matter if you're an adult or not. Like, so I just, you know, I can handle it. There's a lot worse things in life than what's going on for us. But at the same point in time, I mean, the amount of work that our staff, our players are putting into it to try to correct it. And that's like Tony says, we're good in this game on Thursday. Like, the one non-negotiable we always have is you better play hard. Mm-hmm. We have rebounded at NAU by 13. That was a major issue 2 games ago, is that we lost our rebounding mojo. Last 2 games, we're plus 32 on the glass. there are signs of like we're the things that we feel like we got to get better at are getting better. And so we've got just got to keep addressing them. I feel like we got a little bit better in practice yesterday. I think we're going to get a little bit better today in a few hours. So, again, it's I would hate to be an NBA team in this situation, right? Because this is what do you call it? You tank, right? To get a better lottery pick because you can't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I hate to be an NFL team in this situation because it's like you can't make the playoffs. I don't know. I don't know how you keep coaching. Like, you just do your job, right? That's what you paid to do. But, like, that's not the situation for any basketball team in Division I because we could win the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we told the guys, you know, not after but before NAU, said our goal is to become a winning program again, to go 6-5 in these last 11 games. Well, now we got to go 6-4 because we're 0-1 in this stretch. All is not lost, but man, it feels rough, and I understand people's frustrations. But we're doing everything we can to try to get it, you know, moving back in the right direction.
Even all that being said, too, you obviously we know what it means. You guys could be undefeated. You could lose every game. You're going to play in the Big Sky Conference tournament, and there's a beauty into that because it's hey, guys aren't going to give up. But this is a crazy time in sports now. I mean, in this day and age, guys are already halfway through the season. There might be guys that are like, what's next?
Oh,
you know, what's the portal look like? When can I enter that?
Oh, there's no doubt about
it. How do you deal with that? Because I like this group, and I don't know this group that well, but it does seem like you're not getting a lot of that. But I'm sure human nature kicks in at some point.
Oh, for sure.
And in the back of somebody's brain, it's like, I could get more playing time on this team. How do you stay locked in?
Well, that's a year-to-year thing in the sense, like, it's even harder when you win.
Yeah, probably. Even if you're winning, you're getting
that stuff. It's harder, yeah. Like, because when you're winning, everyone's chasing your plate because, like, man, these guys are doing this and this and this on a winning team, right? So what's great about this team and what's frustrating, too, is that, you know, really our three, you know, most productive players, obviously, with Brock, Quinn, and Zach, they're all at the penultimate point of their career. They're all seniors. So at least the portal, like there's no portal for these guys. They're moving on with their lives, but even those guys, they're getting bombarded by agents. You know, I'll get five even in our current state of losing, I'll get calls every day like, hey, what's the best way to get in touch with these guys? Because some of the agents are good, but they're good.
Yeah,
did they do it the right way? Some of the agents don't do it the right way, and so again, they're also in these guys' DMs and this and that. There's a right way to do business. There's a wrong way to do it. But when you looked at like the portal and stuff. That happens no matter whether you win or lose or you're in the middle. It doesn't matter. You know, the high major guys, the P4 guys, they are evaluating mid-major rosters and they're identifying the best players in mid-major, you know, and knowing that they can pay these guys crazy money. Guys that aren't playing as much, for sure, like their mind can go to, hey, like, man, I'm not playing much. Maybe it's better that I portal out to go to another Division I or Division II, whatever it is. That's perfectly fine in human nature. But again, can you eliminate that distraction to stay focused? It's a lot easier to do that when you're winning, right?
Yeah.
When you're losing, though, it's harder to keep that motivation. So we got to fight that fight. But I think our guys are doing a good job staying locked in. But like those forces are always prevalent behind the scenes.
It's just an interesting time. Like you said, and we've talked about this before, this is uncharted territory somewhat for you as a head coach with this program. But the bottom line is you got a lot of big games coming up.
A ton of games.
There's a minimum goal, I would imagine, try to get out of that bottom four so we can still get that first round bye.
That's right.
Because you're still going to have to play. When things are good, it's always in the back of my mind like, yeah, man, things are good, but you still got to win three games in March. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
You know, Portland State's like 7-0 or 8-0, something like that. And I know in the back of, you know, Coach Coburn's mind, their head coach, he's saying, man, yeah, we're in a good spot, but, like, there's a lot of games left, you know, and injuries and this and that. Like, their whole thing runs through three dudes. Like, and last year for us, we were, like, 8-1 at this point in time, and it's still like, man, you just got to win the day. You got to get better in practice because all of us, the margin is so thin, like, who can get better between now and then? But you're right, Brady, and that's been the goal is, like, can we get out of the bottom four, you know? And right now that's not looking great. But there's 10 games to go.
Yeah.
Can we find a way to get high? Can we get to that sixth seed? And even if we don't, hey, it's not the end of the world, but if we can get to it, it gives us the best chance. If we get to the sixth seed, we are equal playing footing with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the goal. And so that's still been the goal as we flushed, you know, season two. So nothing's changed because we lost one more game at Northern Arizona. Do we need to start winning? Yes, we do. We got to find it. Like, and again, this Idaho team is as talented as any team in the league. They are really good on Thursday night. We got to play good, man. But, you know, I'm not going to dump into the narratives. I know that I got to be the best version of myself. Everyone does. We got to be the best version. We need more. I got to be better. Our guys got to be better. We got to, you know, the whole thing. And if we don't keep fighting, we have zero chance. We do know that. Like,
I asked this to Brock yesterday, and I want to get your perspective from a coach's perspective because this is fascinating. You guys have had all these close games.
Five in a row.
Win or lose, you guys are in close games.
13 on the year. 13 one-possession games.
It's insane.
I've never seen it like it.
Would you rather, what's easier to overcome, to go back to the lab and scheme? When you get blown out by 20, or you just keep losing games by one possession, 3-5? Because to me, like, close games are like, man, we did everything right to put us in that situation, but just getting over that hump, now we got to re-scheme. Getting blown out, it's like, dude, we can point to 10 things, pretty obvious, and we can go correct those. What's more difficult to kind of overcome and scheme?
It's probably the forest and the trees, right? Like, the forest, like, the big picture, if you keep losing these close games, the forest is like, man, you just worry about their belief, right? But you also can sell it in the sense that, hey, guys, we're right there. Like, we've lost 5 games in a row by one possession. But if we clean this, and this up, it might not come down to the final possession. If you lose 5 games in a row by 20, whoa. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Now,
yeah.
In a one-off game, you go into a game, you know, you're competing, you know, you're middle of the pack, you're whatever it is, and you just get whacked. It's very easy when you get beat by 30, but you've been competing, you've been winning your fair share of games. It's very easy to take that one game and say, hey, even like, I want to recap almost every game, but it's even say, hey, guys, we're just going to throw that one in the trash and move on. Very easy to do that. Where you wouldn't want to do that when you lost the buzzer, like, hey, look, we this, and this. So you could pick either one, but I do think when you get into this scenario, when you've lost 5 in a row, I think our guys still have belief because they see that we've literally lost the buzzer 5 times in a row. But if you lose 5 in a row by 30, whoa.
Then that starts to tell the real
story. Now, like, it's like, hey,
not a good team.
We're not good.
Yeah.
And so I think that, again, like, I think I would rather keep, again, it doesn't matter. Like, you got to keep just, you know, plugging away and finding a way. But we know we're right there. And again, you lose these in a row in addition to the beating the CU, the Texas. Like, hey, the Portland win. St. Thomas can win the Summer League. We had them beat. We had them beat and they hit a full court shot.
Yeah.
So, like, nothing's changed in terms of our roster. We're just not playing good enough. So we just got to keep staying the course. And again, it just goes back to those two wolves, man. What are you feeding to yourself mentally?
Yeah. Well, I'll be curious to see, you know, kind of what all this looks like. You know, the players get together, have a chat, whatever, and I don't think that's end of the world.
I think it's great.
Yeah, I do too. Idaho, Eastern Washington, next two games at home. When you look at Idaho, kind of what sticks out to you?
Maybe the best offensive team in the league. I think they're really good offensively. And they put about 7 guys. Everyone can be a productive offensive player. You can't scheme, like, well, this guy can't play, so we're not going to – like, you know what I mean? Like, they're all really good offensively. And I think the coach Pribble does a great job, puts them in good spots. They play a lot like us. They're going to run a lot of ball screens. They're going to mash actions. They're going to put you on a bind. They're going to try to put 2 on the ball. They got great shooting around, good, you know, good guards with Mitchell and Biko Johnson. They're big, they're physical. Rasmussen's the best freshman in the league. He's their 4-man. I mean, he's really good. He'll be the freshman of the year. Maybe it'll be Kenyon Uwino at Montana, but like, they're both 4s and they're both really good. But Rasmussen is extremely impressive. Extremely impressive as a young kid. They got a monster down low, you know, Roberry. I mean, he looks like he's 7'4". I mean, he looks like some of these old wrestlers, Andre the Giant, right? He kind of looks like that, but he's good. And, you know, so we got to attack him. They're going to junk things up a little bit defensively, play some zone, you know, this and that. But they'll also play some man, some drop coverage. I think, again, you know, we just got to play better. We're both, it's still like, even though it's crazy, like the analytical rank, we're both ranked like the same, about 175 in the country. And the thing is, like, when we were 22-16, the year that we went to the CBI and ended Dusty May's season at Florida Atlantic and all this stuff, we finished the year ranked 220 in the country. This team is substantially better than that team, literally 20 games in. But the recency bias, we got to find a way to get a win here. So I just, you know, hope eternal. I'm going to keep feeding the positive wolf. And you know, before we can get to Ewash, we got to attack Idaho. And we got to attack them. It's going to be a great night. It's a later game. It's a 7 p.m. game because it's a sort of a – it's not a doubleheader, but the women are here too. And they've got their afternoon District 6 game with all the young kids going, you know, come to the game at noon. So we're pushed back an hour to 7. It's going to be great, though. It's Bank Colorado night. They're bringing several hundred employees. We're giving away 1,000 shirts.
Nice.
1,000 shirts. There's a light show at halftime. It's faculty staff game.
Yeah, what is this light show? I've been seeing posts about that.
Hey, man.
It's
going to be good.
That seems pretty cool.
Hey, that's a Kitsman original right there.
Yeah.
So Kits put a lot of work into it with his marketing team. So there's a lot of things going on. Spoke to, you know, both the last night, brought four of our guys to speak to the Panhellenic, which is like the sorority group. And then four more guys to speak to the IFC, which is like the frat group. We're rallying the troops. Like, no one's feeling sorry for us, and we're not feeling sorry for ourselves. You know, the show moves on. But I think faculty, staff, I think Bank Colorado, I think light shows, I think 1,000, you know, first 1,000 fans get a free T-shirt. I'm really proud of, you know, the people internally at UNC too. Like, hey, we know we have a good team. No one's giving up by any means. And even if we lose another game, no one's giving up. We're going to keep fighting because that's what we're supposed to do. And we're going to find a way through this thing. And I just know, like, you look at guys like, you know, it starts with Quinn Brock and Zach and those guys staying the course, staying with us. Like, we owe it to them to keep fighting and finding a way because those guys are everything what this community, this school should be proud of. And they're not the only guys, but they're the oldest guys, and they put the most time into it. And we owe it to them to absolutely empty the tank and find a way through this. And I really believe, not just because I'm this positive Pete guy, but I really believe at some point this thing's going to turn. Water's going to find its mark. We're going to play better, and we're going to find a way through it.
A new T-shirt quote. I at the finish of the Brock Wisney show yesterday, I said, hey, I think you guys are going to win the next 5 games in a row, and then you're going to make Portland State game just epic. And Brock finishes with, we're going to win the next all of them in a row. And I think that put that on a T-shirt. And I love that. Yeah. All of them in a row, Coach.
All of them in a row. And it's if you can't win all of them in a row, if you don't win the first one.
So like, that's absolutely
get that first
true.
One done. And it's going to be a great challenge. Like I said, Ida was really good. They're playing well. It's a ton of confidence, ton of juice. And so they're not just going to give us a win. Like, we're going to have to go out there and play really well. But it'll be an exciting challenge. It'll be a great game on Thursday night. We'll keep it going.
I look forward to Idaho coming up Thursday night, 7 o'clock. Here in Greeley, also available on ESPN Plus. Coach, always appreciate the time, my friend.
And absolutely.
We'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
Thanks, Brady.
The Two Man Game podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy Ryan Hicks and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game, so how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!